you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Where To Next radio show here tonight. Appreciate you joining in. My name is Robin Terry. I'm the host of the show. And tonight we're going to be talking to Daryl Wisman. Great guy, has Post-Town Elementary School, so looking forward to talking to Daryl. And just thought I'd kind of touch base a little bit on some stuff that's kind of going along with where we're doing some things here at Ashmore States and the Art Theater. Right now, actually, it's not much going on. As everybody kind of knows, everybody's kind of locked down, kind of shut away, put away and doing some stuff, but that's going to be behind us before you know it, and hopefully we'll get on with everything we're doing. One thing I kind of want to let you know, just a little bit in advance, is in June 28th, here at the Art Theater in Auburn, Illinois, we're going to have a book signing with The Ghost of Gacy, and Richard Estep's going to be here. He wrote the book, The Ghost of Gacy. It's just now out. In fact, I got two boxes today of the book. I'm kind of excited about that, so I'm looking forward to it. And those are in, and they're very inexpensive as far as the price of the book goes. And but we're going to be hosting an event, the book signing, on June 28th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And this is going to be kind of a cool evening because we're going to start off with the documentary that brought this all around, which was The Killer Coincidence. From Brad Kling did this with Strange Curiosity a couple years ago, and we're going to show that episode, and then we're going to discuss that and talk about the book that Richard did. And it's going to be really nice because Brad Kling and Barry are going to both be up here. Brad and Barry Kling are going to be up here for that night, June 28th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and they'll be here at the theater, as well as everybody that was in the documentary that Brad did. So the original three mediums that were touring the building that night, that when this whole thing transpired, are going to be here that night. So we're kind of looking forward to that, a chance to talk to the mediums that were involved, as well as a good friend of mine, Steve Gianangelo. Steve actually has wrote some books on serial killers, and he has nothing to do with the paranormal side of things, but he's a former state police officer that's done a lot of work on criminal investigations of serial killers, wrote a couple books on serial killers, so we're going to get his insight into that as well, and I think that's going to be really fascinating, kind of put them all together. And then, of course, with Brad and Barry, and Brad was here with the experiences that he encountered, why he investigated when they did the documentary, even more so than most people think and realize, because there was stuff that was going on at 8 o'clock in the morning that Brad just couldn't stay away from. And so that'll be interesting. And then talking to Richard. And Richard, him and his group spent about 3 days here and going through the building, doing some investigations in the building. They didn't stay late night. They were going to. We talked about it. They were going to stay late night. But they decided that they didn't really need to. And they had so much going on. So mark your calendars, June 28th from 7 to 9 p.m. We're going to charge $5. And that's going to go to Lost Limbs Foundation, which you guys all know I do a lot of I can with Lost Limbs Foundation. So that's where that's going to go. So mark the calendars, June 28th, 7 to 9 p.m. It's a Sunday evening. I know it's kind of a strange time, but we've got some things going on Saturdays that we couldn't do it. And Sunday there's an investigation here during the day, and which will probably be the last one that we do here until February of 2021 when we do our Unity Day. I think there's one ticket left for that, and that's probably the last time we ever investigate the building. I'm not going to open up for public investigations anymore, doing anything like that, and we'll talk more about that June 28th and why I'm not doing it. So show, but you got to be here to find out. So if you can make it, June 28th, $5, 7 to 9 p.m., books will be here. Brad will probably have some of the Strange Curiosity, the DVDs here. And I told Steve to bring some of his books on serial killers. And I talked to another gentleman today, or kind of chatted with him a little bit, and he might be down. He's actually doing a documentary right now on John Wayne Gacy in Chicago area. So he told me to let you know if this is actually going to happen, you know, as long as we can get through everything we're going through right now. And it's going to happen, and he wants to come down and sit in on this too, because it's a different side of what he's ever done, because he doesn't do anything with paranormal either. So we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's I think Daryl's here with us. Let's bring Daryl in and discuss Posttown Elementary School. Let me pop him in here and get him on the line.
I'm here. Are you
okay, Daryl? You're there.
Yes, can you hear me?
I've got you loud and clear, buddy.
All right, how you doing, Robin?
I'm doing great. How's things in Middletown, Ohio?
Said it was almost 60, but it felt like 30 to me. But pretty good.
Well, that's not bad. You got 60-degree temperature here. I think it might have got to 40 or so around here. It wasn't real warm today. You know, 42 or something like
that.
It
felt cold to me. Other than that, everything's going pretty good. Got doing our normal springtime stuff, getting ready, doing a lot of painting and a lot of cleaning and a lot of remodeling stuff, fixing things up.
You know, people don't realize how much time and effort goes into these locations. They just think they come out there and investigate, and that's it. It's all ready to go for them.
Unbelievable how much work it takes.
And it's never a stopping point. It's a weekly job, just keeping the place clean and ready to go.
Definitely never stops. We're doing the same thing we did 15 years ago when we moved in here. It's just over and over and over and over. By the time you think you get done painting, you got to start all over again.
Oh yeah, it's just a big circle, and it just keeps going and going, and it'll never change. It'll be like that forever.
Yeah.
So, just for some people that may not know where Posttown is, tell us where you guys are located.
We're in Middletown, Ohio, 20 miles south of Dayton and 32 miles north of Cincinnati. We're 9 miles off I-75. So it's not a bad location to get to. It's in between two major cities and just 9 miles off the interstate, so it makes it pretty simple.
And you guys, like I said, you're 9 miles off the interstate, and Middletown's not a real small town either. It's a pretty good-sized town.
No, it's I think our population is like 46,000 or something like that. It's on the smaller side compared to Dayton and Cincinnati, but big compared to a bunch of the other towns around Ohio here.
Big compared to where I'm sitting right now. It's about 10 times that size.
Yeah.
So how'd you end up with Posttown anyway? What brought you out there? How'd you get started with it?
I came here just as wanted to live here. Didn't have any idea about the paranormal or nothing like that. And then I had all kinds of business plans I wanted to do with the building. And one of them was actually turn it into a haunted amusement. But I ended up not being able to do that because of fire code, and it was too expensive to put sprinklers in it. So we just didn't, never mind that. Fought with the county a little bit over it, and they were winning, so we just give up. So the first 4 years, we just lived here at our house. And the guy's working for me said he's seen a ghost in here one day. And I was telling him how nuts he is, there ain't no such thing as ghosts and all that. But he seems to have proved me wrong.
Now, you said you bought the place, or you went to the place, and the idea of living there and making that your home. I can't hardly say anything about that. I live in the movie theater, so we're kind of on the same wave path with that. But what made you decide, what made you even think about wanting to go and live in a school?
Well, the house we had that we owned before here, it had a big old house, with 898-square-foot house on it. If you jumped up, you could hit your head on the ceiling. But one classroom down here is 900 square feet. So our whole house would fit in any one of these rooms. And the space was phenomenal. I mean, it was just like a dream come true. You know, it's, you got room to do anything you could possibly ever want to do. So we were going to have like a little, we had businesses planned out, a little balloon business, like a flower shop, but balloons, a little vinyl printing shop. They had a no-holds-barred training facility, a weightlifting gym, a medical massage therapist, the state of Ohio. We had all kinds of little things, nail salon, and each thing had a, you know, there's all kinds of room. You can do whatever you want to do. And when we started fighting with them over the haunted house thing, they started picking on everything. And according to the code books, anything where you have over three people is considered A5, which is assembly. And anything in A5 has to have a sprinkler. So we fought and fought and fought. Finally, we just couldn't afford fighting no more. We quit, just give up.
And I can understand that. House. Yeah, it does make it kind of bad when you know you try to put something up like that, and it just doesn't work out. So, but yeah,
right.
I mean, starting a house there—that's a great idea.
But it blew up in our face. We called it the money pit forever. And I mean, we went from 898 square feet to 36,500 square feet, and that changes everything. Our first heating bill for 77 days was $33,000. You know, our house payments, heating, electric, phone, water, gas, everything, was $33,000 a year at our other place. And here we got that one heating bill. So it was kind of, it was way up in the air in our minds and shot straight down the tubes in the beginning. And it, a struggle crawling out of. Actually, the paranormal people made it a happy place again. You know, got made it to where there's something that can actually be done. Now, why is it haunted? Why is there spirits? Why is there ghosts? I don't know why. I never knew nothing about them before this place.
Right.
There's a bunch of theories of things that happened. I don't know. It's exciting to me. It's just to watch different groups and different people come in and do the way different people do things. And I love it. Every investigation is like a new investigation because nobody does things the same. And
sure.
The people that come here repeatedly, they say every time they come, it's like a whole new place. Everything's different. Everything, you know, you get the same one or two things, but they always get things that, oh, we didn't get nothing about that last time. You know, it's like it just keeps replenishing itself. And a lot of people say it's like a bus stop or something. Like every time they come here, it's something new here. And I don't know why it is. Living here is nothing like what people get investigating. The things that we see and hear and feel is totally different. It's totally different. And as far as I know, I'm the only one that's been attacked by something in here, you know, enough to make me bleed. And I've never seen that happen to anybody else here. Everybody talks about how everything here is so pleasant and peaceful, and it's just a good, fun time. But I guess when you're in here 24 hours a day, things, you get to see it all, you know, from good to the bad.
Oh, yeah, there's kind no doubt
cool
about that. So give us a little background history. I mean, we all know it's an elementary school, but, you know, you know anything about the grounds and everything there before it started being a school?
Before the school was even built, there was a couple of train wrecks that took a lot of lives. That just so happened they were both on July 4th. One was in 1895, one was in 1910. The 1913 flood went down the Miami River here. It's about a quarter mile from here from the river. And there's a lot of lives lost in the 1913 flood. And all the way up to that point, Middletown didn't even have a hospital. And actually, the flood's what made Middletown build a hospital. And from that point on, it's been, I mean, we've had, there's a story of a girl that fell over the handrail. And I finally met a guy here this past winter that actually came to work on my furnace and told me he was here the day the little girl fell. So he said when his dad passed away a couple of years ago, that he seen the newspaper articles about that. And he said he remembers it because every kid that went to school here, their funeral was at the church right next door. And he said each classroom that wanted to, they didn't have to, they wanted to go over and see her in the casket before, during the funeral. They walked each classroom from school over there. And he went to the sixth grade then, and he said he remembers upstairs in the window watching out, seeing the fifth graders coming out, and they were all so excited to get to go because none of them had ever been to a funeral. And he said, I remember it well. He said, but he said, Dad's had the paperwork because I seen it when we was going through this stuff when we cleaned his house out after his dad passed a few years ago. So he's going to try to find that for me. If he does, and no longer be an urban legend, and we'll have facts on it then. But that's the only thing I know that actually, I mean, there was a lot of tragedies here that happened, but they didn't die here. They died later, or a few weeks later at home, or in the hospital, or something like that. I don't know. It was just, I started school here in 1963. My wife went to school here. All of our kids went to school here. Like back then, I couldn't wait to get out of here. Never dreamed I'd live here. And, yeah. My grandson brings his friends over because we got full court gymnasium. They come when it's raining and stuff, and they can't play basketball outside or go to the Y. They always come over here and play. And they think that's the coolest thing in the world is Grandpa has an indoor gymnasium, you know. We have a lot of fun with the building. When the bad storms is coming, I open the door number 4 up and leave it unlocked. And we have 2 trailer home parks pretty close to here. And I just tell everybody, if it gets bad, tornadoes or something, come on over and go right down on into the cafeteria, the basement area. And it was a fallout shelter when school was here. Might as well be a fallout shelter now. So I open it up to the public that way. I let the fire departments come in here and train. I let the police departments come in, train their canine dogs for locker searches in the schools. I'm big into community stuff, and I like letting the community get something out of the old building that's been here since 1937. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's always fun to work with the community and all. I've offered Ashmore States to the local fire department. It's a volunteer fire department to come out there and do some drills and everything in there. And even with the sheriff's department, told them if they wanted to. And not many of those guys are real interested in coming out there and spending a lot of time in the building. They just want to stay away from it. But now you said you have like 36,500 square feet of space. How much of that can people actually investigate? Any idea?
36,500. The part that I live in, I don't have added into that.
Oh, okay.
I have 4,500 square feet divided off for our living area.
Gotcha. So, yeah, so that 36,500, that's a pretty good-sized place to be able to go out and investigate. And I mean, I've been there myself, but you can spread people out throughout there. You can get a lot of people spread out throughout the building to investigate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's actually 3 floors. It's 2 and the gym and the cafeteria area is like halfway submerged in the ground. So it's 2 stories, and then the gym and the cafeteria, some people call it the basement. But it's quite large.
And then there's quite a bit of ground around on the outside, too.
Yeah, there's 3 acres that goes with the school, and I have a total of 7 behind us that I take care and maintain. That we're going to, like our big events this year, we're going to try to have a campground set up where you can bring tents or a camper or mobile home and have a place to camp for the weekend instead of getting motels and stuff. I think that's going to be pretty neat.
So how did you get the whole school and everything involved in the paranormal? I mean, I know you said you weren't involved in it at all, so how did you get that? What was the idea? How did you go about getting the whole thing set up like that?
Well, the guys working for me knew a team that had all that equipment and stuff like you see on TV and kept trying to get me to let them come over here. And I said, no, don't even mention that to my youngest daughter was still at home then. She hadn't got married yet. I said, don't even mention that to my wife and daughter. If they think there's something in here, we'll be moving. They ain't going to live here. And because we're living in this big old building. And so it went on a little bit. And my wife watched all the shows on TV and stuff. And one night I come down, she's sitting there watching. I said, you know, John says that he thinks that there could be stuff like that here. And he knows some people that's got all that stuff. Come and check it out for us. And she said, well, that'd be cool. Let them do it. And I said, what if they find something? And she said, well, I don't care if they find something. I got God on my side. I'm not afraid of nothing like that. I said, okay. So we called John, told him to tell him, and he was here the next night. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I was setting up with them until they got ready to leave in early in the morning hours, and getting them going to work at 7 o'clock. And started taking his toll on me. I said, yeah, I can't do this. I got to work all day and stand up with you guys all night. They was coming every night of the week. And next thing you know, another group's knocking on the door. Hey, this guy said that he got some evidence. Would you care if we come? And it started getting big, and I just had to quit. I started shutting it down. That guy told me, he said, if you don't have to stay with these people, block that hallway off where you guys are living at, and they'll pay you to come and just walk through the halls by yourself. I said, yeah, right. Somebody's going to pay me to come and walk through my dark hallways with a flashlight and a tape recorder, and they do. So that's how it started. It just grows every year.
That's what I've been out there quite a few times, and it's nice to see that you've been able to do that. It kind of helps. It helps keep the building going. I mean, you know, you're not going to get rich out of that stuff, but at least helps keep the building going.
Definitely couldn't stay here if it wasn't for the ghost people. I couldn't pay the bills. Very expensive to stay here. Just an average, I'm talking about everything, with our cable, trash, water, internet, payment, the insurance, everything all together, it's about $3,300 a month to stay here. And if it wasn't for the ghost people, I couldn't do it. My health went bad. I'm on disability now. It's all I can do to keep the building up. I got people helping me now. We keep her kicking, though. Try to keep it as nice and neat and clean as we can. I don't buff the floors as much as I used to. But one of these days I'll find somebody who can run a buffer and gotta get back up to par again that way. It's just a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to try to keep these things going. And, you know, you can get it, you know, you'll get some people that invest here, they'll come out and volunteer to help you. But then sometimes you got to weed through them because some people just want to come out there just to get in the building. They're going to tell you they're going to help you, but they don't want to do anything.
Seen a lot of that. But simple things like waxing the floors. I used to wax the floors twice a year everywhere. And just buying enough wax to wax 36,500 square feet is a good 2-week paycheck. That ain't cheap, but it's expense constantly. We're going to change a bunch of windows this year, I hope. Things are booking up really good right now. You know, we got a little setback going on right now with the nation, but that'll straighten itself out and get back on track again. But it started out, this was going to be one of my best years, I believe. It was really booking up.
I think that after this whole thing's over with, I think the stuff's going to explode. I think people are going to want to get out there and do stuff, and it's just going to get crazy.
Yeah.
So just be prepared for it.
Well, I'm ready.
where you said you got hit in the head or something like that with something and kind of got started bleeding. It's like, have you had some other personal experiences in there as well?
It gets so intense at night that I've had to put a camera on my bed to watch me sleep, because we don't know if I'm just getting up sleepwalking or if I'm just rolling out of the bed or what's happening. So we put a camera on me, and I've been thrown out of the bed. I've recorded animals jumping out of my bed. We don't even have animals. We got a bird in a cage, but we got a big animal jumps out of the bed or something and sits there and just watches me at night. Its eyes glow and the IR lights and everything. I mean, I don't know what it is. You can't really make out if it's a cat or a dog or a coon or what it could be. But it's just a black fur ball. Its eyes glow and it jumps from one side of the bed to the other. And it's kind of freaky when you know, you'll be laying there just about asleep at night and you'll feel like, I don't know if you ever had animals inside, but you feel a cat jump up on your couch or on your bed.
Right.
And, you know, you'll be laying there just about asleep and you'll feel this, thump, thump, and you're like, oh shit, something just got into bed. You know? And you look around right down there and you're like, I wonder if it's on the camera, you know. I don't know.
I think Brenda's just kind of pushing you out of bed.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Yeah. But I've got them. Well, I got one where I'm on my eighth hernia right now. Sometimes I can't lay down and sleep. So I prop a pillow on the bed and get on my knees. And looks like I'm on the side of the bed praying is what it looks like. But that's how I sleep that night, because I can't lay down. And I've got video of me sitting there sound asleep, and something comes up and just jerks my shorts down. And like, what in the world, you know? But, I mean, you can watch it. There's nothing up to it. There ain't nothing. It's weird, the things that happen. And there ain't nothing like what the investigators get. You know, nothing like that kind of stuff happens. There's nothing. I woke up 4:15 a.m. one morning on my hands and knees in the middle of the bedroom floor with four holes in my forehead and blood. I mean, I'm on blood thinner anyway, but your head bleeds bad anyhow.
Right.
And blood is just pouring out of my head. And I'm like, about that time, Brenda woke up at the same time and said, what'd you do? And I said, I don't know. I just woke up. There was no blood anywhere else around the room, in the bed, nowhere. I don't know. It had to happen right there in the middle of the floor. And there's nothing there to do it, you know, in the carpeted floor. But I don't know what does that kind of stuff. But I don't know why I didn't scare. You know, normally I think I would have been like, we're getting the hell out of here. You know, I'm not staying here. Just something in here attacking us and stuff. But it never did. I mean, I never got a scared feeling out of it. Never felt threatened. Never. And I sit back and think about it and think, maybe I'm nuts. You know, I don't know. But would something like that not bother you?
It's always kind of strange when you have some experiences like that. You kind of wonder about it. But
yeah.
Hopefully they don't happen very often.
No, they don't. The only time I bleed is when door 109 opens on its own. That's a door you have to kick open because it sticks so bad. And when it opens on its own, something bad always happens to me.
Oh, when that door opens, that's when things happen to you then, huh?
Yeah.
Now, do you have a camera on that door?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Has it ever picked anything up?
I've seen it. Gets the door opening and stuff, but I've never seen nothing go in or out it or no kind of a shadow. Well, one of them, we think we might have a little bit of a shadow, but I think it's a reflection off the window and the door as it goes past the reflection off the wall. I don't really think it's a shadow, but it looks similar to a shadow. But other than that, we never picked anything up on the camera. going in or out, and just see the door open. That's it.
Now, other people, what kind of experiences have other people had there?
A lot of people hear people talking. They see a lot of people have seen shadows. We've had a lot of people getting touched. Had a couple people say they got scratched. I don't know about that kind of stuff. But I'm one of them people that there's a reason for everything. And if it wasn't me getting scratched, you know, I don't know what really happened or how it happened. You know, you just don't know. But they hear a lot of voices. They get a lot of communication with kids. Playing games, they like playing games. I think it's mostly school stuff, and I don't know why, but a lot of people tell me that when you pass, if you don't cross over, you'll go where you were the happiest in your life. And to a lot of kids, that would have probably been elementary school. I don't know what caused it all, but it's phenomenal. My saying on my shirts, I got, says, when you leave, you believe. Because I've seen so many people come here that didn't believe when they got here. And by the time their investigation's over, they're just all excited telling a story of something that happened. And so when you leave, you believe. It changes a lot of people's minds.
Yep, that's it's always kind of interesting, especially when you can bring skeptics into a location and they, you know, I always, when they come out to Ashmore, I always tell them, hey, yeah, I'm not going to try to change your mind. I'm going to leave that up to you, you know, because I like skeptics. I'm very skeptical myself. It's like you are. You just pretty much got to hit me upside the head before I'm going to believe it. And
right.
I don't think our job is to change somebody's mind. It's to let them, you know, to have their own encounters and maybe their own experiences.
Right. Now, the people that are the bad skeptics, I won't tell them anything hardly about it because I'm a big believer in power of suggestion. If I tell you a story about something, 9 times out of 10, somebody in your little group's going to see it or hear it, and I'd rather them tell me about it, and then we'll compare notes. I can show them what evidence we have of it, and that, to me, that's exciting when they get something that they knew nothing about, and then you have evidence where it's happened before. Kind of verifies things a lot better.
I had a medium that was out the building last year that told me that she was seeing something in the one room we were in, and I said, well, don't tell me what you're seeing. Let me put it down what I think you're seeing. And I wrote down everything I thought she might be seeing, and that she told us what she saw, and the guy, they were freaking out because everything I wrote down is exactly what she saw. So, because I think as a venue owner, it's always nice I like to do it that way because anybody can sit there and say, oh, yeah, we have experiences like that here all the time, and you could be lying to them. You know, and so I like doing it in a reverse way. Just that way I can tell them what I think they're going to tell me and then let them tell me.
Yeah.
And
it's
just like getting touched someplace or seeing if there's a certain area in your building that there's shadows all the time. It's like, you know, say, don't tell me where you saw it. Let me tell you where I think you might have saw it. And that just makes it even that much better for them because then they're like, oh, my God, I didn't even tell you where I saw it, but you knew where I was going to see it.
Yeah. Now I've had people come back from doing the walkthrough, and they're all getting their equipment ready to go out and start hunting, and you'll hear a couple of them over there talking, like, when we were down by the dry goods room or in the gym or something, did you guys hear that? And you hear them talking about something that you heard happen before, and you just kind of sit back and inside yourself just kind of giggle, you know, thinking they're going to have a good night tonight.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, too, when you get those new people that are involved that come out there, I think the things are a little more active with them than they are with somebody that just doesn't really care, just doesn't even want to be there.
Yeah, that's a fact. And it seems like the bigger and more braver they act while they're getting ready to go are the ones that are usually the scaredest when they get to the end of the building.
Yep, exactly. That's always the case. Yeah, they I've had them here at the theater that done the same thing. That told me they didn't want to do this. They didn't believe in this stuff. They wanted to do with it. And about the first time to take a break, they're standing outside with me. I'm like, aren't you going in? It's like, nope. I had this weird experience I can't explain. I'm not going back in there. So you just kind of chuckle to yourself. It's like, yeah, you were the big bad guy.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun.
Have you had very many people do daytime investigations out there?
We've had a few. We get a lot of people asking for them. It's hard to open this building up for two or three people. And if I could get groups together, we would do a lot of them. But it seems like daytimes are hard to get people together. But we probably average 8 a year, maybe. Not even one a month, probably. Just that we can get enough people together that it's worth doing. Sometimes I have people that only have two people, and they'll pay for a group of 10 and come in and spend the whole, and they have a blast, but it's expensive when you can't get enough people together to, because it don't matter if I have two people or 10 people, it costs the same for me to keep everything up and going as it does for, if there's nobody in it, you know, it's the same.
I've had to beat that horse a lot. People don't understand it. It's like, you know, I'm the only one who can be there. I'm like, yeah, but it costs you the same to open that door for you. In fact, I was just kind of joking. So the only thing I save by you having only yourself is a little bit of water and toilet paper.
Yeah, that's about it.
And, of course, right now, toilet paper, that's a pretty good savings if you can do that. So.
Yeah. I got lucky. I just went and bought a whole bunch of it before all this ever come out.
Ah.
So I've still got stock right now. Now I keep it locked up, though. I don't leave it out like I used to.
I think that people that don't investigate at Post Town during the day are missing the boat, because I honestly think that if you're going to investigate a location, you would want to do it when it's probably the most active. And obviously a school, Monday through Friday, from about 8 in the morning until 3:30 or 4:30, you know, at night, you know, in the afternoon, is going to be the most active time when that school was open. So that, to me, would
That's
be a great
fact.
Time to investigate the location.
And the local people, like myself, that went to school here and everything, they want to come so bad and check it out, and they'll stay out here and talk to me for hours about it. And they're afraid to do it. I don't understand it. I said, what are you afraid of? There's nothing in here going to hurt you. And I started telling them stuff that happened to me, and they're like, yeah, nothing's going to hurt you. But, I mean, it's not, especially daytime, you hear a lot of, like, desks moving around. You hear, like, a mop bucket rolling down the hall or something. But when you go out to look for it, you can't find nobody out there. It's just sounds in the daytime are more school-related sounds.
Right.
But daytime investigation is a little bit harder because you have a lot more outside noise, too, that you hear. You know, nighttime is kind of quiet around here. You don't hear all the traffic and all the trucks going down the road, things like that. Biggest thing you hear at nighttime is the trains that go by. And sometimes it seems like they're every 5 minutes. I don't know how they get past each other. But it's just the daytime is, like you said, just as active as nighttime, but it's a different, I don't know, feeling. But the whole, everything is calmer, but it's more intense. You don't know how to say it because it's a lot of people don't like nighttime because it's dark and scary. And daytime, it's all bright and daylight. They act like nothing can happen when it's light out. And then something happens and it scares the crap out of them.
Yeah, especially during the day because they're not expecting it to happen. And then when it does, they're like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. It's like, well, quit watching TV shows. You'll be a lot better off.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now, do you guys have any specific rules out there that you allow or don't allow inside the building when people are investigating?
Yeah, we got it all on the website. I don't have it memorized, but like we don't allow Ouija boards or table tipping or seances and stuff like that. We're dealing, to me, with school type of kids, and they seem to be more than willing to communicate with people at a school theme level. I try to explain it to people, like, if you were one of these big prisons last month hunting the ghost, and you're talking to them in the death row, you piece of crap, why'd you kill, you know, you come in here talking like you was talking at the prison, and all these kids are going to run and hide. You know, they get no evidence, you scare the crap out of them. But if you come in here acting like you're at a school and you're wanting to play games and have fun like it's school time, it's crazy the stuff you get in evidence. But, so I think a lot of it's got to do with the environment that you portray you're in while you're doing it.
Yep, I agree with you. I think it's all about what you bring into the building and what you're going to do when you investigate and how you're going to treat the spirits in that building, how they're going to want to communicate with you or not.
Right.
Now, I know you guys are open kind of pretty much year-round out there, but how are things as far as electrical, heat, water, stuff like that?
I have electricity in every room of the building. We have lights. Bathrooms upstairs and bathrooms downstairs. None on the lower level. There's no bathrooms down there where the gym and the cafeteria is at. It's pretty much a full functioning building. We can go in any room in the building and do whatever we want to do. I try to keep all the windows sealed, you know, where birds and stuff don't fly in and out. Sometimes in the summer we'll raise the windows, and every once in a while we'll get a bat in here or something, but I got a big fish in net that we'll go bat hunting with, and we catch them with the fishing net and put them outside. But other than that, the building is pretty much, I like keeping it where you can set the floor anywhere you want to and not worry about getting dirty. So I keep it pretty clean.
So the bathrooms are pretty much open year-round then?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I got one upstairs that's for men and women, and then I got a boys' bathroom and a girls' bathroom downstairs that's open year-round.
Okay. That works out really nice then.
Yeah.
Now, if you could change anything out there at all, just change something that happens out there or something that you're doing with the building hall, what would that big change be?
Probably be the windows. I got so many windows, like on the 1930s part where the wood parts kind of rotted and we're having to replace some glass in them. Sometimes the frames aren't up to, I got like six windows that the frames are pretty rotted on, and I don't want them to look different. I want my windows all be the same, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And to put new windows in, totally that you can't match these 1930s windows. And so we just kind of have to try to build pieces to get them as close to looking like the original as we can. I mean, I'm sure I could buy the originals, but not for my income, or what my income is, I can't.
Yeah, I mean, those windows, I mean, you can kind of figure almost as a ballpark about $200 a window. You know, so it's not cheap to replace all these windows, you know, they're in these buildings.
And each hole was two windows wide, so my windows are like 8 foot by 8 foot six.
Okay.
And they're big windows.
Now, you got any big changes coming up in this year?
Hopefully, like I said, I'm working on windows, getting all the soffits, and we got all the downspouts and everything put on this past year, trying to get the water from quitting. You don't realize how much water to get through brick and stuff, but where the downspouts got stolen off the building, they were copper, of course, and when copper got up real high, we got attacked. But where I finally got them all replaced back in aluminum, not copper. Taking all that water from running damage in the building like it was. So I got that fixed. Now we're going to go inside. I call it popcorning. It's not drywall. It's not cement. But it's, I call it popcorn. It's like a real wet cement. You shoot it through a machine and build your wall up, let one out flat, repaint it. I got to do that in the gym where it leaked real bad, and a couple places throughout the building. But just, I love everything being clean and neat. And then, like when you made all them labels of different teams' names and stuff for me, I like, you know, to me that dresses the place up, you know, gives it a, I don't know. Like, I had people this last time, they had us on that TV show, and I had people call me, I seen our team name on the wall. It was right behind, you know. That's what it's all about, you know. And it made them so happy and excited. Then I got my patriotic hall where I put up Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard flags and stuff. And anybody military or had anybody in the military signs the wall. And I've got a lot of signatures on that. They really love that wall. And now I've started a first responders hall. I got the first responders, I forget what you call it, that insignia, that snake going around the cross type thing.
And, yeah, the Star of Life.
Yeah. And I got a lot of people starting to sign that wall now, first responders. But that's, I used to be that, you know, when I was younger. I was on the fire department. It's like a group of people, like the paranormal people, you know. It ends up being a type. Well, you're into it, too, I think.
Yep. Yeah, I'm on the fire rescue here in town as an EMT.
Yeah. It's kind of a different family, you know. It's you become close-knit, and it's take pride in it, just like when I was in the Army. You take pride in what you do.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out right now because I can't. I'm just told not to run calls. Because of the situation that's been going on, they said, no, you need to stay home for a while. So I was kind of pushed into a leave of absence for a few weeks anyway. But I'll be back. Now, you mentioned that you guys, you know, you had some people out there to help you for you. You've got people that actually kind of take care of your events and bookings and everything, don't you?
Yeah, right now I got Nick and Beth. They do all my website work, you know, keep my calendar up to date and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to try to do some new things this year that we've never done before. And we're trying to get the bugs worked out of them to see if it'll work out okay. I think people will like it. And just technical stuff. I mean, I'm not saying you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but the new technology surpassed me so far. I have a rough time trying to keep up, and they just make it look so easy. So I let them take care of all that kind of stuff for me. And it just takes the load off, you know, like you said, our health gets to us sometimes. And I've been down, but I'm coming back up because I'm kind of taking myself over. The medications, I think, is what had me messed up so bad. But almost weaned off everything. Only taking 3.5 pills now instead of 13 a day. But it still keeps me groggy all the time. Don't have any energy. Yeah, my blood pressure too low and stuff, I think. But I'm coming, and once I get back, I'll be in good shape for the building again.
Yeah, I just had a pacemaker put in 2 weeks ago today. And
I've seen that.
Yep. And, in fact, I was just about getting home right about this time 2 weeks ago, and boy, since I've had that done, I feel so much better, and I'm ready to go.
Do you really?
I can't wait till I can do stuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the heart stayed in sinus rhythm. I've been, going up and down stairs, and I can breathe when I'm doing that. And, yeah, it's like, I just wish I'd done this, 3 years ago. So.
Yeah.
But
they were wanting to do that to me.
Well, if they want to, and you're... Yeah, if they're considering it, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it made a big difference for me. I can tell a huge difference in the way I can do things now. I feel like I did 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yep, I'm ready to hit it. So we'll see what happens. But now, if people want to book Post Town, what do they need to do? How do they get there? Who do they call? How does that all
just
happen?
Go to posttownschool.com, and it pretty much walks you through and tells you how to do everything. You can just pay your deposit, you know, pick a date on the calendar, it's not already booked, and pay your deposit, and then when your deposit comes in through PayPal, we go in and block that date on the calendar, and then I think a week prior to arriving, you have to pay your balance in full, and when you get here, if you get the overnight room, you can get here as early as 4 o'clock and stay until 2 o'clock the next day. If you don't get the overnight room, it's a 7 to 7 investigation. So you get here at 7 o'clock at night, and 7 o'clock in the morning is supposed to be over. Pretty simple, 7 nights a week, believe it or not. And I still have a hard time believing it, but Christmas Eve even books. I can't believe how people are so dedicated into it. You know, Christmas Eve, really? You know, the last 3 years, Christmas Eve booked for a ghost hunt. I tell them usually, you know, probably not going to do a walkthrough, so you'll be on your own. It's year-round. People never quit. Wintertime, I try to always have a little special going. I call it my cold weather ghost hunters. And knock the price down. Let them enjoy it. You know, just the more the merrier. Keep having fun.
Now, you kind of mentioned the overnight room. What's going on with that?
Well, it's got, right now we got 7 beds in there. It's a full-size classroom. We got a refrigerator in there. Microwave, coffee pot, and all that stuff in the break room. And if you spend the night, you know, like I said, you can get here at 4 o'clock in the evening. People generally get here, bring all their stuff in, set everything up, and they'll leave and go to dinner. And then they come back and dive right in investigating. And if they get tired or some of them want to take a break, they go up to the overnight room and crash out while the other ones are investigating or whatever. And then otherwise they can stay here, and when they quit the next morning, they can go and get in the bed and lock the door and sleep till 2 o'clock if they want to. Just gives people an opportunity to refresh themselves. A lot of people, I got people who drive 17 hours to get here. You know, some of the investigators come here. And they come once a year, but they come from everywhere. And I'd rather see them have a place they can rest up before they take off. And I've seen people leave here so tired they can't hold their eyes open. And that's unsafe. You know, you need to rest.
Yep.
That's why we started the overnight
room. Get some sleep before they head back out on the road. So, now, you guys got any, what kind of events do you have coming up this year?
The only event that I have scheduled right now myself is the non-con at September 25th, 6th. It's a totally free event. It used to be a one-day thing. It's like a meet and greet, set up tables, and vendors can sell things. It don't cost nothing. Everything's free. But this week, this year, I'm going to do it differently. We're going to do Friday, come in, set up like a actual weekend event, and then all day Saturday and half day Sunday. And we're going to have the campgrounds in the back opened up. People want to camp out and stuff to stay. That big bonfire pit will be going all weekend, and then ghost hunts through the whole weekend. And all through the day, we'll be doing the little 1-hour walkthrough tours. And, but it's always been a one-day thing.
and it's always done pretty well. But it just seems like it needed something added to it, so we're going to make a whole weekend out of it this year. And then the other events that's happening this year, I'm letting people have their own events. Like, they come in, they rent the building, they, you know, I got tables and chairs and all that stuff, and they do their thing, and whether it's a 1 day or a 2 day or whatever event. And I'm going to try to spend my time mostly with just investigations and what Post Town does. I look at it like I'm not in the event business, and it's a lot of work to do an event. You know, putting everything together, getting all your vendors, it's just more work than I am physically able to do anymore. So this year we're letting them do their own. And each month that I have one, we help promote the best we can to whichever one's coming up that month. And it seems like it's going to work out better this year. But we'll see how it goes on that.
Well, that's good, yeah. And then you guys have some open or public investigations, or is that kind of what you do with the event ones then?
Well, we try to do one public investigation a month. And then every once in a while we throw in a raffle where we raffle off some tickets and for $20 a ticket. Whoever wins the raffle gets any night they want that's not already booked. Ghost hunt for 10 people. So it's got a $500 value. For $20, somebody's going to be the lucky one. And I say I give away one, but usually when I give it away, I'll give a second chance drawing. And the second chance drawing, I'll give a weeknight investigation tour or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they can come in on a weeknight and investigate, just to make it seem sweeter on the raffle.
There you go. Yeah, that works out pretty well then. So, anything else you can think of offhand about Post Town that we didn't really talk about that you think people need to hear about?
If you've never been here, at least try it. I think you'll enjoy it. And those that's been here knows they want to come back or they don't. Most of them do.
I've been out there, I think, 3 or 4 times. You know, the biggest problem I have, Daryl, when I come out there, you and I sit there in BS most of the night. So
you never go in the building.
I hardly ever get a chance to go in there. I think I spent about 30 minutes in last time. I was in one of the rooms and asked that we had nothing going on, and I said, "You want me to leave?" And that was the only time we got a response, is that when I asked if they wanted me to leave, so I left. I guess I'll go sit someplace else.
Every time Robin comes, I said he brings a new drone or a new box of some kind. We play with it a few minutes and sit and talk the rest of the time.
Yep. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's what I think a lot of it is about, is just going out and having a chance to talk to people and just enjoying yourself out.
Yeah.
Which works out perfect for me.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you coming on to spend your night with us tonight, and we'll tell everybody to make sure they check out Post Town.
That was a fast hour.
They just came on and told me I got about 90 seconds, and they're going to shut me down.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Robin, for having me on tonight.
All right. Thanks much, Daryl. Have a good evening.
All right.
Give Brenda a hug.
Sure will. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was Daryl Wiseman from Post Town Elementary School. So I appreciate Daryl coming on tonight and talking to us about Post Town and tell us a little more information about that. And, you know, if you didn't catch it, posttownschool.com, you can check them out there. They've got a nice website set up with all the information. Or you can go to their Facebook page also. Just go in Post Town School and Post Town Elementary School, and you'll find it on Facebook as well. So, you know, check them out there. We appreciate everybody coming on tonight and joining us. If you don't have a chance to listen to it tonight, you know, and you just came out at the end, the archives will be up, and you can check it out there. So Again, thanks everybody for coming on. We will be back in 2 weeks with another guest talking about another location. Have a wonderful evening. Good night, all.